Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the 12th of July, the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll be talking to Tony Tangs and listening to some live music. Tony is one of the Friday's performers in the Arts Council Concerts in the Park series. Also, Jason Caputo will be talking about jamming with Jay. And Nancy DeTrini will give us a rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. Ed Reiter's Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like rain likely, low temperatures around 50 degrees. Forecast for Friday, rain, high temperatures around 60 degrees. And the forecast for Saturday, showers likely with high temperatures around 62 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. South Dakota's Oglala Sioux Tribe is asking the U.S. Attorney's Office to look into more than a dozen unsolved deaths on the Pine Ridge Reservation. It's similar to a request made to federal lawyers 2 months ago. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
South Dakota U.S. Attorney Brendan Johnson says he has three staff members dedicated to looking at the first round of what the tribe claims to be nearly 30 unsolved murders and disappearances on Pine Ridge. Johnson's office received that list in May. Wednesday, at a meeting in Rapid City, Johnson and his staff were given a list of 16 additional names. According to attorney Jennifer Baker, all of those people died suspiciously. One reported victim never has been found. Johnson says his office will at least look at the cases and see if any should be reopened. Some of the cases date back to the 1970s, and Johnson says the investigations could take a long time. But Johnson says despite that, they're not impossible to prosecute. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
After more than a year delay, Oklahoma's governor has appointed a new person to provide a connection between state and tribal governments. KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports.
Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon announced the selection of Jackie Secondine Hensley to the position of Native American Liaison. In 2011, legislation replaced the Oklahoma Indian Affairs Commission with the executive branch post. The liaison is supposed to serve to enhance the outreach between the governor's office and tribal governments and also monitor their relationship. Hensley is a member of the Kaw Nation. Muscogee Creek Nation Principal Chief George Tiger told the Tulsa World newspaper tribes were not given input into the selection. He also said he has not heard of Hensley. A spokesman for Fallon said the governor's office actively sought out applicants through referrals, the internet, and media outlets. Tiger also told the newspaper he hopes Hensley's loyalty will be more to the tribes than to the state. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gortney.
The U.S. House voted Wednesday to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Again, the vote is seen as largely symbolic. However, the repeal does pose a threat to Indian health care. Tristan Autone has more.
While the Republican-led House of Representatives passed a repeal of the Affordable Care Act, the Senate remains in control of Democrats, which nearly guarantees that the repeal will go nowhere. Nearly 2 weeks ago, the Supreme Court affirmed the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, permanently reauthorizing the Indian Health Care Improvement Act, or IHCIA. The IHCIA has not been reauthorized in 12 years. With the permanent reauthorization of the IHCIA, the Indian Health Service will be updated to handle services such as cancer screenings, mental and behavioral health, veteran services, and other preventative measures previously unavailable to Native people. The symbolic repeal of the health care law in the U.S. House serves as the 33rd attempt by Republicans to revoke the law. However, unless Republicans win the Oval Office or take a majority control of the U.S. Senate in the coming election, further attempts are also likely to fail. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autown.
Two New Mexico tribes are receiving $150,000 in matching grants from the R-Town program through the National Endowment for the Arts. The grants will go to Taos and Kiwa Pueblo to revitalize their local economies through the arts. The grants are being awarded to communities across the country. During this week in 1941, Creek and Seminole artist Jerome Richard Tiger was born in Oklahoma. Tiger was a sculptor and painter who won numerous awards. His art is described as a combination of spiritual vision, humane understanding, and technical virtuosity. He had no formal training and had the ability to create images after a momentary glance. Critics referred to him as the Rembrandt or Goya of Indian art. Tiger died in his 20s from an accidental shooting. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Let's start off a Juneau afternoon today with a little bit of live music from Tony Tang's live from the KTOO studios.
A tabloid newspaper carried the story stating simply that a small town emergency squad had been summoned to a house where smoke was pouring from an upstairs window. The crew broke in and found a man in a smoldering bed. After the man was rescued and the mattress doused, the obvious question was asked, how did this happen? He said, I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. The story stuck like a burr to my mental socks and reminded me of a phrase copied into my journal from the dedication of some book. Mutatio gridis, mutato nomine, data fabula, narrator. Latin, from the writings of Horace, translated. Why do you laugh? Change the name and the story is told of you. Why do you laugh? Change the name and the story is told of you. He said, I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. A lot of us could settle for that on our tombstones. A life story in a sentence. Out of the frying pan and into the hot water, you know, the devil made me do it the first time. And after that, I did it on my own. But to point at this truth at a less intense level, I report a conversation with a colleague who was complaining that he had the same damn thing in his lunch sack day after day after day. So who makes your lunch? I asked. I do, says he. I don't know, it was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know, it was on fire when I lay down on it. And one more thing about the man in the burning bed in the story. If our own actions are mysteries, how much so others? Oh, sure, we'd go ahead and judge anyhow, but maybe if judgment were suspended just a little bit more often, we would like us more. I don't know, it was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know, it was on fire when I lay down on it.
Live music from the studios here of KRN Air, KTOO News in Juneau. Tony Tang is going to be performing tomorrow night at 5:30 as part of the Arts Council's Concert in the Park series in Marine Park. Tony, thank you for coming down to the station today.
It's always a pleasure, Jeff.
So that was the seed that germinated a CD called Fulton's Preserves?
That was it. That was the seed, the thing that started it, and we decided after that song we needed to flesh out 9 more pieces, which we did, and that became that original CD, which is known to only a handful of people.
And this is the works of the words are written by Robert Fulton?
Yeah, it was. I just had that book. It came up as a reading material on a ride from Minnesota, or Michigan, actually, from friends of mine, and I cracked it open and just started playing those two chords and singing that straight out of the book, and everyone thought it was kind of cool, and actually I did too, and it's kind of fun to sing. But it got me thinking, well, hell, I can put words to music, and that's what started me on the path, the songwriting path.
All right, well, let's listen to another song from the CD itself. This is recorded earlier. When was this recorded?
It was recorded back in 93 and 94. And that's when I first got to know Albert and a whole host of characters here in Juneau. Robert Cohen and a whole bunch of great people.
And the song
Andy Ferguson.
The song is called Pilgrim's Recommendations.
What's that? Pilgrim's Recommendations, yeah.
Tell me about how that came about.
Well, I was kind of doing these pieces with my buddy Mark Hochhauser. Used to go by Moot back then. Some of you might remember him. And we kind of divided up little chapters. And he originally came up with I worked with him on the melody, but he sort of pulled this one forward as an interesting piece. And it's catchy. We felt if we were doing a collection of Fulgham's pieces, that his recommendations needed to be one of the songs. So we put extra attention towards making that work.
Let's listen to this now.
Sure.
Moses, you recall, was sitting high upon a tall mountain out in the desert. And God handed him a couple of solid stone memos. Take the consequences. Murphy, on the other hand, was the ultimate good humor, human cynic. He said, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, it probably won't work out. Some say that Murphy was an optimist. As a middle ground, I offer full thank you.
Fulgham's recommendations provided by the Fulgham's Preserves, or from the CD, the Fulgham's Preserves, and that became the group known as the Preserves that played at many, many, many Alaska folk festivals, and will continue to do so. Tony Tanks is in the studio. He's the mastermind behind the Preserves. Tony, thank you again for coming down to the station.
It's always fun, Jeff.
So tell me, who was that singing on that? Was that Ross Brown?
You know, that was the mighty Ross Brown. Yes, I getting involved with this project was what made me fall in love with her voice, and I've always loved her voice.
And that became the Folk Festival of Preserves?
That became the Fulgham's Preserves, which we did two outings at the Folk Festival with, and then I didn't want to just do Fulgham's stuff all the time, so I started writing my own words, and we shortened it to the Preserves, and then we ran for another 10 times at the Folk Festival or more.
Known very much for having the largest group at the Folk Festival.
Yeah. We were competing with Costa, it seems like.
You're always coming up with something new. What's the process of your songwriting?
Well, it's important to... I'd like having something to say, because if you have something to say, it helps give you some juice to do the job, you know. So, but I think it's important to have some humor involved, partly to disarm the audience up front. I learned that if you disarm them with a nutty song, then you can dang near sing anything after that. So that was part of the goal, to find some humor. I know Oscar Wilde used to say that if you're going to tell somebody the truth, you better make them laugh, otherwise they'll kill you. So, I mean, there's something to that, and you don't want to get too preachy or anything. So sometimes you sing around a subject or, you know, try to reach something that can lift people in another way.
Would you say that's a common kernel at the heart of any Tony Tang song?
Well, there's something there. I think there's something there. Some of them are more nutty, because we'd always try to come out with a nutty one, and then there's something else going on. But yeah, I'd say you're in the ballpark there.
Tell me about your guitar.
This guitar, I got in Seattle. It's called the T-Haru, and I like it because it's so understated, and the guy just barely has his name up high on the neck. And I got it at a place called the Trading Musician in Seattle, and it was marked up from $350 to $450, and I never see things marked up. Usually they're marked down. So I took it off, and I strummed it, and I went, holy smokes, this is cool. And I could see why it was marked up, but I'd never heard of such a guitar. But the whole company doesn't exist anymore. This guy was quite a good guitar maker in Japan, and there's fans of his on the Internet, and you can find a website, but... They're never for sale. They're rarely for sale on eBay, and because people tend to hang on to them. And I just lucked out by picking one up and listening to it and went, well, okay, I'm getting this. It's sort of a poor man's Martin.
Tony's going to be performing tomorrow at 5:30 at the Concerts in the Park series. Solo this time, what are you going to be playing?
Tomorrow evening?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be doing... I'm going to do a buddy song. I love his writing a lot, so I'm going to do one of those in a different key than I have played with it before. I love the song Water Over Stones, and I've been slowing that down a little bit, and I really like that one. I'm going to do a song that Mike Busey and the gang, we did this last folk festival. I'm going to sing the ballad that he sang. I got into writing some songs with Michael Busey this last spring for this last folk festival, when we've been billing ourselves as the House Family Band. And then I'm going to do a couple, probably four other songs or so from the canon of the Preserves, offerings over the years.
Mm-hmm. Want to feature another one now?
Sure. I will, hang on a sec. This one, actually, I'm going to sing for my mom, and it's just, I kind of partly use one of the greatest love songs ever written, incorporated into that. When I was just a child, my mama taught me many things. She taught me not to run around hog wild. She taught me to love music. She
taught me mighty fine. She taught me how to sing. You are my sunshine. You are my sunshine. Is still our favorite song. You are my sunshine. Well, we could sing it all day long. And when the rooster crows in the dawn's light so divine, you know he'd probably hear us sing, you are my sunshine. And when my mama was a child, my grandpa taught her how to sing all the verses to Irene, goodnight Irene. Sometimes he'd take his fiddle and they'd rosin up the bow, and they'd play their favorite song, you are my sunshine, you are my sunshine. Is still my favorite song, you are my sunshine. Well, we could sing it all day long. And when the rooster crows in the dawn's light so divine, you know he'd probably hear us sing, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. It's for my mom.
Tony Tanks will be singing that song and more this coming up Friday night at the Concert in the Park series. Tell me about the group dynamics process in writing a song when you know, a song that you've kind of polished up as a single song, solo song, and then you bring a whole bunch more people into it.
Well, when it's written, one of the ways we work is there's a lot of call and response, and in a lot of the preserves, because we had so many people involved, and so I kind of wrote with that in mind, there'd be some call and response, which has made it hard to translate to solo performance, actually, for a lot of these pieces. So there's sort of, there'd be some banter back and forth in some of the verses, but that made it for quite a stew. One time, actually, I was quite flattered by a comment somebody made after one of our sets, and he said, you look like a pile of bubbling yeast on stage. And I went, wow, you know. That was bubbling. Anyway, it was a compliment.
I take it as such.
Very fertile. Slightly raw.
And this next song I'm going to be listening to came from the CD that the preservers put together?
Yeah, this one, I tell you what, we played this song at, I wrote this one for the folk festival, and it was an opening, it's going to be our opener. And I wanted to make a statement about the folk festival. And this is where it is, was the statement. And that was about the folk festival. And then I was also working at the same time on another song where I was using a kind of the term baby, like, hey, baby, sort of a rat pack lingo from the 50s, sort of that slang stuff. And anyway, I'd get these ideas on napkins, and I had the baby on one napkin and had this is where it is on another one and just slid them together. And it became Baby, This Is Where It Is. And that created the motor, the melodic motor to pull the whole song into, you know, the statement. It was sort of about the folk festival in a roundabout way. Baby, This Is Where It Is.
Where
people hang out and have music and have a good time.
We can listen to that now. Where can people get this CD if people are so moved?
Well, Amazon has, on iTunes actually, has iTunes, and you can go to our website, thepreserves.net, and there's a couple links to iTunes. Hard copy, CD Baby has some. We're so far under the radar, you need a periscope to find us.
Tony, thanks. Thank you for coming by the station today, and it's treating it to a little bit of live music and also some music from your CDs. Tomorrow night at 5:30, concert in the park, in the Marine Park area, brought to you by the Arts and Humanities Council. Tony, anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Jeff, for being such an inspiration to me in a roundabout way over the years, too, because, you know, living next to you up there on the hill, and it's such a creative, fertile, bubbling pile of yeast up there on the telephone hill. It translates. It's come through to my songwriting somehow.
Appreciate it,
Tony. Thank you.
Thank you.
just a little off track on the way out back on the back porch with some friends. Baby, this is where it is. Just a little digression, a satisfaction session on the back porch with some friends. Baby, this is where you go. Down by the spring where the people swing till the rooster starts to crow. Baby, this is where you go. Just a little digression, a satisfaction session till the rooster starts to crow. When Albert plucks his string, you wanna shake your thing. When George pounds the key, it'll rattle your knees. With Andy bopping the skin, you'll be doing tailspin. Tony playing guitar just like a shooting star. When Mike plays trombone, you'll feel right at home.
When God sings that note, you're gonna start to flow. Ba ba dee ba ba doo ba shee ba dee da ba da ba da da dee ba dee ba doo da da ka da ba dee da 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 ba da ba dee. But baby, this is where it is. Baby, this is where it is. When you danced all night till the morning light, and it's time to start again. Baby, this is where it is. Just a little digression, a satisfaction session, and it's time to start again. Baby, this is where it is. Just a little off track on the way out back on the back porch with some friends. Baby, this is where it is. Just a little digression, a satisfaction session. You may know you're coming see. Yeah, baby, this is where it be.
It's the Preserves from the CD, How Excellent and Civilized Are We? Tony Tang is going to be performing tomorrow night solo as part of the Concert in the Park series at 5:30. In the studio with us now is Jason Caputo, who's putting together another thing going on tonight at the Rendezvous. Jason, thank you for coming by the station today.
Thanks, Jeff.
This is called Jammin' with Jay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're over at the Rendezvous tonight. Every Thursday we've been doing it. And it's me, and then Andy Engstrom comes down and plays drums. And then we basically put a band together from other musicians who have come down. So most of the band, sometimes the entire band, is just made up of people who have maybe never played together before and all kinds of instruments. And we basically try and craft something that doesn't sound like a jam, but that is kind of a fully thought out piece, and it's been really successful. We've had a lot of, I think most of the music has been really top notch. People who come in don't necessarily know, like the audience don't know that no one has played together before. You know, it's a real surprise for them, so it's kind of neat.
It's kind of an extension on the sitting in with the band technique.
Yeah, it's a little bit riskier than that. We do the sit-in with the band on first Fridays, and that's where we have, you know, the full band all together, and then maybe just one person is sitting in at a time. And so it's a lot easier that way to have a song, you know, come together. And so, but Thursday nights are a little bit riskier, a little bit crazier, and because, you know, there's sometimes we've got four guests and none of them have ever played together before. And but the quality of musicians in this town is so good. I realized when we were doing the sit-in, and sometimes I started to get two, three, four people up, even with the sit-in, sitting in with the three or four people hosting. Like, these guys are so good. We could take another leap here. We can get a little riskier and really have some fun. And it's, so far it's working out great.
It's kind of like Occupy the Rendezvous.
It does have kind of a flash mob, spontaneous kind of, maybe a little bit of rebelliousness, edginess going on, which is great, what I love.
What makes for a successful jam? When are you satisfied?
Well, I think ultimately I want the audience, the people who are just listening, to have a great time. They're like kind of my first customers. And so for me, it's kind of a failure if people go, oh, I bet these guys have never played together before. I want them to come in and listen and feel like their structure to the song. It's not just an endless jam with no direction, but that there's some real cohesion to the songs, and they make a lot of sense musically when they're sitting back listening, that they're not noisy, that they're not chaotic, really, that they're ordered. And then the musicians, I think, like that too. They want to come down and have a chance to express themselves in a non-chaotic kind of ordered way. And so but then the other side of it that's really challenging for me is to have people who haven't necessarily played together before. And so trying to figure out how to go from that, what are we going to do, get everybody to listen, all the musicians to listen, and give them some kind of structure that then they can turn this into something cohesive. And then what's so exciting about having not rehearsed is when you can do that and it's cohesive, you still have this level of excitement and spontaneity that you just don't have in a fully rehearsed band. So when it works, it's really electric. It's really cool.
Tell me about the language that musicians seem to know. So I certainly don't know when jamming, it makes it sound good.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot to that, too. We talk a little bit about that before people go on. I do a lot of physical cues. I kind of dance the cues of the song. So, for example, if I want the volume and dynamics to come down and get kind of soft and quiet, I'll actually start to crouch down, physically go down, kind of catch everybody's eye and start going down. Everybody knows that. And I'm bringing back up again. I start to stand up, obviously, or even start jumping. And then people know, all right, we're bringing it up. We're going crazy. Some less dramatic things are if you're singing the song and someone's taking a solo and the singer walks up to the microphone, you know, okay, the soloist should wrap it up, because the singer wants to start singing. If the singer steps back from the mic and looks at someone, they know they're done singing. It's time for me to take a lead. So there's lots of little things like that you can do. And sometimes people in the audience pick up on that. Sometimes it's subtle enough that they don't quite catch it, which is fine too.
And like when they touch the top of their head.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you know, that's a classic one. You go back to the top of the song or the head of the song, which is usually the theme of the song. Yeah, or make a slicing motion over your neck, which means we're gonna cut it here.
That usually happens when I play. They either turn my microphone down, whatever they can do to make me stop.
Yeah, we don't actually have a hook. I've heard of one thing like this where they actually have an old vaudeville hook that comes out, and so it's a hook on one end, and then you can clip on as many extensions as you need to make it long enough to get across whatever size the stage is. And they actually We don't do that. We're kind of, once we're on stage together, we're in there thick or thin, and we get through the song together, sink or swim.
I guess one way to get better is just to keep on doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I learned. I learned in all these kinds of things in New York, just sitting in with people. And you know, sometimes I only got one song. And they would say, after one song, they'd say, thanks for coming down. And that was kind of the gentle cue that you should probably practice. I should probably practice a little bit more. And sometimes you got three, which is two or three is normal. And then that special thrill when you're asked for a fourth song, and you know not many people get asked for their fourth song, you know, all right, I'm there, I'm doing well. That's kind of what we do, too. We try and keep it to two or three songs. If something is really, you could tell the audience is not into it, we might limit it to just one and be support in a supportive, good way, but just kind of like, thanks a lot, we'll see you next time.
Jammin with Jay starts tonight at the Rendezvous. What time?
9:30.
Any hints for the audience?
It's kind of fun to look and see what those signals are, like you said, and see how the band's interacting. That's pretty cool.
All right, Jay, thank you for coming down the station and talking about Jammin' with Jay.
Thanks, Jeff.
From the bottom of my heart for this shocking breach of taste.
I'm sorry, Julie. I don't know what got into me. Well, yes, I do. You see, I don't belong here on this stage.
Oh, Carol.
No, it's true. I don't. Oh, I had dreamed. I had hope, but nothing could be clearer to me now.
Hmm?
I don't belong here. And you do, Julie. You belong.
Oh, Carol, you're wrong.
No, it's true.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 12th of July, 2012. It's the birthday of Henry David Thoreau, born in Concord, Massachusetts, 1817. Went to Harvard, didn't care for that, nor did he enjoy working as a schoolteacher afterward. Worked in his father's pencil factory, came up with a better way to bind graphite and clay, and then in 1844, his friend Ralph Waldo Emerson bought land on the shore of Walden Pond, and Thoreau decided to build a cabin there, 2 miles from the village. Lived there for 2 years, kept a journal that he later published as Walden or Life in the Woods, in which Thoreau wrote, "I learned this, at least by my experiment, that if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours." It's the birthday of the poet Pablo Neruda, born in Parral, Chile, in 1904. When he was 19 years old, Neruda sold all of his possessions so that he could publish his first book, Crepuscolario Twilight, and because his father did not approve of his writing poetry, he did not publish it under his given name, Naftali Ricardo Reyes Basualto, but under the pen name Pablo Neruda, and in 1924 he published Veinte Poemas de Amor y una Canción Desesperada, in English 20 Love Poems and a Song of Despair. Pablo Neruda, who always wrote in green ink because he believed it was the color of hope. And it was 50 years ago today, a band called the Rolling Stones played their first Gig 1962. Brian Jones put an ad in a newsletter announcing auditions for a rhythm and blues band. Two roommates, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, showed up, who both loved blues. They'd formed a band of their own, Little Boy Blue and the Blue Boys. Brian Jones was on the phone with the Jazz News, and the reporter asked him what the band was called. He looked over at a Muddy Waters album lying on the floor. One track was Rolling Stone Blues, and he said the Rolling Stones. July 12, 1962, they played at the Marquee Club in London, opened with the Lieber and Stoller song Kansas City, and also played Chuck Berry's Back in the USA. A new book, The Rolling Stones 50, is going to be released today, marking their golden anniversary. Here's a poem for today by Andrea Hollander Booty, entitled Sorrow. Sometimes it's so large we begin to be pulled under, so large we believe we will drown unless the plug is pulled and it begins to drain away through unseen pipes that usher it out of the sad house and below the neglected lawn, beneath the wide street and traffic, beyond the traffic light and the elementary school on the other side. Underground, it slowly, steadily dissipates into the neighborhood beyond the playground with its innocence at recess. For so many years, I was one of them. From the top of the slide, I could spot our beige split level and even its flagstone walkway. I could sometimes make out the silhouette of my mother retrieving letters from our mailbox or out on the front lawn positioning the oscillating sprinkler. How good her timing was then, not leaving it in one place too long or letting the water wet the sidewalk, never allowing it to drown the things she planted. Sorrow, a poem by Andrea Hollander Booty from Woman in the Painting, published by Autumn House Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Shut Up and Play the Hits, the new concert documentary about the last show of LCD Sound System, is coming to Juneau on Wednesday, July 18th at 6:30 p.m. at the Gold Town Theater, and KXLL is turning it into a party.
Woo-hoo!
With beer donated by Alaskan Brewery, wine and live music from Nick Tiger of Tiger Pilot.
Woo-hoo!
Live music until the movie starts, then stay for the after party.
Woo-hoo!
This is an all-ages event. Tickets are limited and available only at KXLL.org.
Woo-hoo!
I'm rendered here.
Snake Mackey should be performing live in concert Friday, July 13th at 8 p.m. at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. And now representing the Juno Arts and Culture Center and so many organizations in town, it's Nancy DeTourney.
Hey.
Hey.
Here we are.
A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there is a fair number of things going on. And not the least of which is it's kind of sunny outside.
Before we get too much further, Liz Snyder's opening up for Meg Mackey again. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Juno Arts and Culture Center.
Let's not forget that. It's going to be a great concert. I'm really looking forward to it. We have a couple of things going on. Okay, so we have some things to know. If you're interested in alternative music or middle school programs, contact the school district. You have until August 9th. The City Museum is accepting applications for solo artist exhibits through August 15th. And the Jump Society is now accepting submissions to the 10th. Jump Film Festival. So check over at the Alaska Robotics Gallery about that. And let's see, tonight at 5:30 there is a Housing First board meeting in the downtown library. We got some good movies showing at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, Dark Horse, and Marty. Friday is, of course, the Kimball Organ Concert at the State Office Building, a great way to spend your lunchtime. It's free. At 5:30, there's music up on the tram with Tom Loker. And as you mentioned, there is Meg Mackey over at the Jack. Wonderful music and a great opportunity to hear a couple of really wonderful musicians. Meg's not used to be from around here, not from around these parts anymore.
Concert in the Park series?
Concert in the Park series. Goodness sakes. I told you this one was going to be a surprise to us because I didn't write this one. We do have concerts in the park, and if it's going to, I think Tony Tangs is on that one, mm-hmm. and I don't remember everybody else, so.
Flutatious.
And what's the other one? Since you're so smart. I forgot.
I just failed my smartness test. Yeah.
Okay, me too. Anyway, it's concerts in the park. We do them at 5:30, so as you can get off work, pick up the kids, and come on down to the Marine Park. We do have some chairs available, which have been loaned by the Northern Light United Church. And it's a really pleasant afternoon, evening event. Then you can pick up a picnic at one of the restaurants downtown or go out later or whatever you want to do. So concerts in the park on Friday, and then it's Meg Mackey. And then there's Halloween in July, if you want to get scared. That's at 9 p.m. at the Rendezvous. Saturday, it's all day. There's the second Saturday Farmers and Crafters Market at the Airport Mall. Early in the morning, 8 a.m., Juno Audubon Society, Saturday Wild Nature Walk. Meet at the Mount Roberts Lower Tram Terminal, and they'll be going out for that. Should be a lovely day. 8:30 a.m., Simpson artist Abel Ryan will demonstrate Northwest Coast carving at the Alaska State Museum. And by the way, I want to mention the fact that in our gallery, we have Dwayne Bosch and Ray Watkins. Both of them are carvers and artists. And Dwayne, and in particular, is over there almost every single day. So it's a great opportunity to come over and chat with him about his artwork and watch him at work. Also, Ray is often over there, too. So that's in the Jack Gallery. And we're open down there from 9 to 6 every day. So come on down. Saturday and Sunday, it is the annual gardens tour that's put on by the Southeast Master Gardeners Association. You can get your tickets online or at the Jack or at Hearthside, and then you take your tickets to the Safeway lobby or to the A&P lobby on Saturday and pick up your maps. And then your maps are good for the whole weekend of all the different gardens. And I know it seems like it's been sort of not a great year, but I think there are some gardens out there that are looking pretty good. So it's a nice way to just get out and enjoy somebody else's. In my garden, we're growing slugs, but other people seem to have some nice stuff. So try that. At 6 p.m., the Thunder Mountain Peregrine Booster Club invites you to a whale watching with the Falcons. They depart Auk Bay Harbor at 6 p.m. and return at 9 p.m. Tickets, there are only 120 tickets. They are available at Hearthside Books or by calling 321 2782. At 7 p.m. at the Jack, it is this exciting event, Burning Runway Fashion Show, Champagne and Wine Tasting, Dance Party with Music by DJ Atropin and a whole bunch of other folks, DJ Manu. This is at the Jack, and it benefits the Burning Rain Music Festival, which is coming up.
So they'll be talking about that tomorrow here on the show.
All righty then. Let's see, Sunday, again, the artist will be at the Alaska State Museum, Abel Ryan, and from noon to 4-ish, we have the Saturday market, or the Sunday market, I keep doing that, on the lawn. Just come down and see. Usually we've been getting produce in from Gustavus. There's usually some music. There's a variety of different artists and things going on, so come down and see how that's going up. There'll be some, I think, Big Mike barbecue and stuff like that going on. If you're interested in roller derby, come chat with the Juno Roller Girls at the Sunday Market and see about becoming a roller girl or a referee or a non-skating official or just get involved with roller girls. Goodness knows they're having a lot of fun. That's at the Sunday Market at the Jack. At 1 p.m., again, you can go out and do your garden tour. There's folk dancing and ballroom dancing at the Juno Racquet Club downtown at 6 p.m. On Monday, Friends of Auk Bay informal walking audit and networking walk from Fritz Cove to Seaview Drive and back.
Actually, I think that's on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, see, I just knew we would run into some interesting things on this calendar today.
We'll be talking with Carla about that tomorrow.
Excellent. It's the Arts for Youth are having their dance camp from Monday through Friday. If you're interested in having your student or your young person in a camp, call 723-8568. I know they were in the parade, and they do lots of really wonderful things, activities. There is Toastmasters and bridge and cribbage and all that sort of stuff. On Tuesday, the Marie Drake Planetarium is having their free family event with a movie and astronomy coloring books, and they're showing Astro Puppies in Space. One of my favorites. You should be sure to go. Let's see. I think that's kind of pretty much. Oh, you guys have an event on Wednesday at 6:30, the new concert documentary, Shut Up and Play the Hits. This is at the Goldtown Theater. There'll be keg beer donated by the brewery, wine, live music, all sorts of things going on. So that's kind of it for the week. It's a good week. Hope to see it something.
And did you hear anything of it coming by the station?
Thanks for having me.
It is 3:57, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators in the Valley and Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220BT serves Hoonah at 91.9, and Excursion Inlet at Icy Strait here, KTOO on K210AS 89.9, also live online at www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock on a Juneau afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. We'll get the rundown on the Southeast Alaska State Fair with guest Jessica Edwards. We'll also talk to Carla Hart about next week's walking audit of Auk Bay. And Will Hernandez from Choco will be here to highlight Saturday's Burning Runaway Fashion Show. And we'll talk with musician Meg Mackey performing tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. Liz Snyder is the opening act. At Writer's Almanac Music and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain later on, low temperatures around 50 degrees. Forecast for Friday, rain likely with areas of fog in the afternoon, high temperatures around 60 degrees. Friday night, rain, low temperatures around 53 degrees. Forecast for Saturday, looks like rain is likely with high temperatures around 62 degrees. Sunday and Sunday night, mostly cloudy skies with highs around 65 degrees. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to a June afternoon. If you know somebody that'd like to be on your show, it might even be you. Give me a call. My name is Jeff Brown. My phone number is 463-6425. Thanks very much for tuning in. Have a great evening.
I think Mitt Romney's a fine family man, but the differences are so basic about how we view the future of America.
One day after Mitt Romney addressed the NAACP.